Okay, welcome back to podcast number 9, and today we thought we'd focus a little bit on anxiety, seeing as that came up quite a lot for Mari in the last podcast when we talked about her experience of changing rooms and how that perhaps sits behind a lot of life when you've got sight loss or you're without sight. And today I've got Mari Thurston here with me, but I've also got Miguel Wigan.
Hello.
So welcome both of you again. So anxiety, how do you think it affects people without sight?
And how would you describe it? How would you...
What is anxiety?
Yes.
Well, in therapy, we're really used to using the term anxiety.
Yes.
And it's quite a UK thing, isn't it, to have anxiety? I don't know how this translates. I know the feeling you might find identifiable, but you might not realise it. It is anxiety. So what we thought might be helpful to do is kind of unpack what does the feeling anxious feel like? How does it impact on you? Mm. And how can we work with that?
But it's also the feeling of anxiety can be very different for lots of people.
Individuals, yes.
Yeah, so some people I think feel it very physically, don't they?
Some common...
Yeah, they feel it in their chest or their
tightness,
a headache.
Heart pounding.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Increased breathing rate.
Yeah.
Lots of different ways of feeling, but also it just might be a feeling of dread sitting there
Doom.
In the background. Yeah, that's right. So what do you, I don't know, has anyone got an example what we can bring in that kind of relates to anxiety and maybe sight loss as well?
Yeah, well, I know that there's a kind of live example that you and Miguel were coming up here to do the podcast, and you asked me, Mari, could you pick up from the supermarket chicken legs and soak beans, because we'll do something Jamaican.
Yes, lovely.
And I was like, I can't do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to find that. I'm not going to have the capacity to cook that. So it felt like for me, my anxiety comes out and I kind of self-limiting. I'm not able, my initial response to everything is I'm not able to do that. So it's a really, that's how my anxiety manifests.
What went on for you when we were having that conversation? So from my perspective, that was quite an easy thing to do, to go to the supermarket, pick the chicken up, put some water on the beans, you know, that's quite simple. But what went on in your mind?
So I was thinking, I've got it, I'm getting home from work, I've my taxi, and then I need to go out to the supermarket. So that means I need to get my guide dog, put on the harness, go out. Now there's two really difficult crossings, and getting across the car park to the supermarket is precarious, and then finding the way around the supermarket, and then all the chicken things, like, which one is, and it, like, every step of that I took into like each step of that is a hurdle. So each to get to some place, is there are multiple hurdles. It's not just go to the supermarket.
And what happened for you when you thought about that? What went on in your mind and your body?
I think that my mind goes, I can't do that. That's too hard. I can't face all these challenges, because it's also the start of our academic term, and we are preparing. We're really busy at work preparing things. So it felt like all my kind of coping strategies are about focused on surviving as more of the preparation for the start of term, and this felt like it was something huge. It became something really huge, like you'd ask me to go to the moon. Just nip to the moon and pick up a pack of chicken legs.
Yes. That was how you So there was something about you'd already probably had quite a lot of anxiety in your day. And then this new thing that you hadn't practiced, you hadn't got used to,
pushed her over the
just took you into
over
that,
the threshold.
So
it doesn't come from that thing of you know, being anxious on the baseline, kind of operating from a mode of anxiety, and then just kind of something will push you over that edge and raise it up a little bit. And
absolutely,
that's what the chicken was.
What the chicken was.
Sorry. Okay, so did you recognise it was anxiety?
Not initially. It just was like, no, can't do it. It's like an automatic response. No, stop. No, I can't do this.
It's a panic.
It was a panic.
And then, I know you were able to ask for what you needed in that, but was that an easy process for you to get to being able to ask for what you needed to reduce your anxiety?
That's where the nub of it that makes it hard is because being like a person who wants to help and be helpful, and of course you're my friends, then it's very difficult to actually say to you, I can't do this. You know, it's too hard.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to find some words that people can think or some feelings that maybe that kind of bring into focus. Because what we know from RNIB is a lot of people come into counselling and they're trying to describe something, but they don't use the word anxiety.
Yes.
But quite often we'll use a measure called the GAD-7, which is an anxiety kind of scorer, as it were, or measure, to help them just to say, is this anxiety or is this depression?
Yeah.
Shall I just go through what some of those questions are?
I think that's a great
And maybe you can tell us when you go into that experience, if these resonated with you in that experience.
Yeah.
So the first question would be feeling nervous, anxious, or on edge.
Yes.
Not at all over the last 7 days, more than half the days, or nearly every day.
Yes.
We would ask about the frequency of it as well.
Yeah. So. And I think it is the frequency, isn't it? I think is it over the last 2 weeks? I think so. It's a 2 week scale. So if I think back over the last 2 weeks where it's getting ready for the start of term, then I would be feeling nervous and anxious and on edge because there's a lot to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So not being able to stop or control worrying.
So that's really interesting. Yes, I think that is, I can recognise in myself that I'm more worrying than normal, worrying about everything, worrying about chicken legs, worrying about, about my office moving. There's a lot of worry about. Yeah.
Okay. Worrying too much about different things.
I think, yes, I think it's easy to go into that place of worrying too much.
Yeah. And do you think you have trouble relaxing?
So I'm very lucky that I have good resources where I live that help me relax. So I think I would say that I can relax.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But
does the anxiety get in the way of what?
The anxiety might get in the way of that.
So that night when we were discussing chicken leg gate, you know, did you struggle to sort of sleep that night?
Yes, that was, I felt very anxious about that. Yes.
Okay, so being so restless, it was hard to sit still?
So I think there is a sense of, I don't think that one troubles me so much. I think I'm able to sit still. Oh no, but maybe actually thinking about that, I could see how that would be. I could see, you know, my being fidgety, you know, or distracted by things, you know.
Yeah, I think sometimes it can go one way or the other.
Yeah.
Sometimes people become so extra anxious they don't move.
Yeah, yeah.
So actually they'll put the telly on and lose themselves in TV or listen to some music because they don't want to engage with the rest of the world.
Yeah.
So it's restless but also sometimes complete sort of coma around the anxiety.
Yeah.
What about becoming easily annoyed and irritable?
Yes, definitely more grumpy. I'm more grumpy because I think it sits with me. Yeah.
And then feeling afraid as if something awful might happen.
Yes, and there is a children's story called Chicken Lickin', which we have in the UK, which is the little bird who thinks the sky is going to fall down on him. Mm. And I do feel like that. I think there is that sense of overwhelmingness. Mm. Yes.
And do you think you live with these kind of feelings the majority of the time?
Yes, I think I do. I think because, and I think it's like what I said, like in the last podcast, is that there's something rumbling around my sight. It rumbles around in the background all the time. All these things. How do I, you know, how do I walk along this corridor? How do I get through this door? How do I get to that shop? How do you know?
So going back to the chicken thing, it wasn't just getting the chicken for you. It was getting the right chicken.
Yeah.
It was about getting that all to the end of the day when maybe you've used up all your anxiety, resilience, just getting through work and then adding that task on the end of the day was just that little bit too much.
Pushed over the edge.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm wondering how people are recognising they're anxious. What can we do around anxiety? Mm. What helps?
I think what we've talked about today, I think if you're experiencing that, if you're experiencing any of these things about, you know, feeling nervous or on edge or being irritable or not, or worrying too much or being restless or, you know, thinking something awful might happen, then what you're experiencing is anxiety.
Yeah.
And go and talk talk this through with a counsellor, you know, and that's, again, we're offering counselling to the group, so talk it through.
Talk it through, but I guess what I'm trying to get to is what can help people. So it's not just about talking it through. So you were saying you can recognise it as anxiety, but what did you do after that anxiety hit to look after yourself?
For me, I mean, making my way here this morning, the journey here was, you know, first time I've made this journey. I've never done any of the journey before, and there was anxiety. And it was building as I'm waiting for the bus that's not coming, and I'm like, is the bus even, I'm not even the right stop. But what I did, because I was getting more and more anxious, but I had to get here. So I had to wrestle with it. I had to control it. I had to say, well, look, okay, I'm anxious, but I'm going to accept that. But there's nothing much I can do. I can try and explore the area to find where I'm going, but I've just got to, you know, just got to deal with it. Just got to hold it, not let it overpower me. So I just give in.
So recognize it seems important. So that was that
acknowledgement.
That was dealing with it in the moment. But I think anxiety does have an effect on us later as well, doesn't it? So if we've been highly anxious in the day and then we get home at night, I'm wondering how we can kind of look at that when we get home, because I think it leads into other behaviours, anxiety management.
And there is
a physical aspect, and you talked about raised heartbeat, heart rates, tightness in the chest and headaches. And I think there are hormones that are released. It's a fight and flight, cortisol, adrenaline, those kind of things. And it has a physical impact on us. And I think the bit that's really interesting where it kind of intersects with sight loss is if you are anxious on a daily basis just to do your daily tasks and you become, you know, that anxiety has an impact on you, there's a role there, isn't there, to kind of look after yourself a little bit more around that.
Definitely.
Because anxiety can damage your body as well, not just your mind.
They say stress is one of the biggest killers. If you're stressed predominantly all day, but just at a baseline level, it does have a toll, doesn't it? An immense toll, on the body.
So maybe what we can do in another podcast going forward is think about some of the things we can do around self-care.
I think that's
just
great.
To kind of
stress management,
anxiety management. You know, I think, Miguel, you made the point, it's like that there are things in life that are going to make us feel anxious.
Yeah.
Anxiety is part of life.
Yeah. Yes.
But for blind and partially sighted people, it's that baseline and that constant attack on the body that we might need to think a little bit more about and come up with some strategies that could help. Does that sound like a plan?
Sounds like a great idea. Yes, let's do it.
Okay, so that's enough for today on anxiety, and we'll look at the self-care bits in the next podcast.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, and goodbye wherever you are in the world.